Hier spricht die Stimme Amerikas. Heute und täglich von heute an.
This is a voice speaking from America. Daily at this time, we shall speak to you about America and the war. The news may be good or bad. We shall tell you the truth.
That's from one of the earliest broadcasts of Voice of America, launched 71 years ago. According to its website, it reaches a weekly audience of 134 million people in 43 languages, and its practitioners would probably resent the word propaganda ever being applied to its broadcasts. Certainly Alan Heil would. He worked there from 1962 to 1998, acting as foreign correspondent, chief of news and current affairs, and deputy director of programs. Back then, VOA reached fewer people in more languages. We spoke to him 10 years ago, after the publication of his book, Voice of America, A History. He agrees that it was created more to influence than to inform, but its journalists didn't always stick with the program.
True, it was founded as a propaganda organization to counter Axis propaganda, particularly in Germany, but also in Japan. But you had at the very beginning, among the pioneers, those who believed that the best policy was to tell the truth. I can remember the story of General Stilwell, for example, who said, "The Japanese gave us a hell of a beating in Burma." Now, that became a matter of some contention, as you might imagine, between the policymakers in Washington and those broadcasting the news from the Voice of America then in New York. But the VOA staff held its own. And later we learned, following World War II, from some of the Japanese who were interrogated about their listening experiences, that made them really believe the Voice of America. Even in the early going, there were editors who stood behind the contract with the listeners to give them an honest accounting of the day's events.
You quote President Lyndon Johnson saying, "I know I can't affect the broadcast companies. I know they won't listen to me. I know they won't help me. But God damn it, I have my own radio, and I've got to make that work." And he was referring to the VOA and its coverage of Vietnam. Wouldn't you admit that sometimes the VOA has a problem reconciling its dual roles as both a government agency and an impartial news source?
Well, John Chancellor said that the Voice is at the crossroads of journalism and diplomacy. I think, however, it's increasingly clear, and particularly in the 21st century and in the post-9/11 period, that there is no substitute for a full and fair disclosure of events. I think that there is a hunger for the straight story.
How many languages is the VOA broadcast in?
It's broadcast now in 54 languages.
And do you count special English among them?
Not really. Special English, being a variant of standard English, was designed back in 1959 to aid comprehension of those listeners for whom English was a second language.
It was an English that was composed of a 1,500-word vocabulary.
Quite correct, and slowly delivered, one thought per one sentence.
And what could you convey in special English?
Oh, you would be remarkably surprised. If I may, I'd like to read from page 279 of the book.
Please.
The absolutely marvelous poem sent to us by A.V.B. Menon of Tamil Nadu in India. And he called it an ode to special English. "Hail thee, special English. Thou art a virgin maiden, uncorrupted, simple, easy. Ye ring a familiar tone to one and all, learned and wise, as much to the uninitiated. Simple is beautiful. No frills, no twists, nor pretensions. Ye wind your way to the heart to strike a familiar chord. It's neither the king's nor the queen's, but that of very common folk. It is a symphony in prose. Long live special English."
You know, it reminds me of one of VOA's greatest contributions to world culture isn't in language at all, but in music. I think that the most famous and certainly most beloved voice of the Voice of America is probably that of Willis Conover.
Absolutely. He once made a visit to Moscow, got out into the great packed hall in the center of the city, and all he said was the standard introduction to his signature program.
Time for jazz. Willis Conover in Washington with the Voice of America Jazz Hour.
And the hall burst into applause. This is at the height of the Cold War, and there was a standing ovation that lasted for several minutes.
Let's talk about the VOA in China during Tiananmen Square.
There's a fascinating story about one of the Chinese correspondents, Betty Zhou, who all she needed to do was to identify herself at the edge of this square of 1 million people, and suddenly the people would part like the waves of the Red Sea and usher her right up into the center and the platform where the pro-democracy demonstrators were holding forth during those very, very critical months leading up to June 3rd, 1989. The Voice was then jammed by the Chinese government.
This is the Voice of America. The following program is in Chinese.
And then anyone listening to it can see the critical impact of jamming on blocking information from the Chinese people. 成千上万发动争取民主自由运动的学生和支持学生的群众仍旧留在天安门广场。 I think even the Chinese themselves conceded before that martial law was imposed on that day in May of 1989 that the Voice probably had 60 million listeners. It was, I think, clear that its impact was historic in 1989.
One last question, Mr. Heil. We have the BBC. We have CNN everywhere. We've got the internet reaching into corners where even CNN can't reach. Why do we need the VOA?
I would have to go and quote David Burke, who was the first chairman of the U.S. Broadcasting Board of Governors, who said that CNN can be seen in hotel lobbies and in industrialized society. It cannot be seen in refugee camps. The U.S. simply has to have a voice, I believe, and that's a voice that reflects us. It's not a voice that's an official radio as much as it is one that reflects America, an American optic, as a West African editor once put it.
Alan Heil, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Alan Heil is the author of Voice of America, A History.
Hello, everybody. And all of you at Voice of America, congratulations on 70 years of extraordinary service. From that very first broadcast during World War II, and ever since, the Voice of America has been the voice of freedom. Long before we even talked about the power of public diplomacy, you made it your mission to help America communicate with the world, to show the true character of our country and the ideals and liberties for which we stand.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.